Remember our lessons, the basis, the foundation of the last few Sundays. I've been there from Matthew chapter 7, the Lord's teachings of His disciples. And as we live here in this life, that we should practice a life of entering in at the straight gate, not the wide gate, and that we should walk on the narrow way, not the broad way.
Yeah.
And remember that the wide gate and the broad way leads to destruction.
Right.
The straight gate, the narrow way, leads to life. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And Jesus said, though, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and you don't do them, he's likened unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. Then remember our lessons there from Romans chapter 13, of how that the scriptures teach us that we are to live and walk in the light of the day, the gospel day. There is an illumination, there is a light in the gospel day for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that we will enter in at the straight gate and the narrow way and build upon the rock Christ Jesus is through the light of the gospel day, the illumination of God's word, the teachings of our great head, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, we're going to have to do as the scripture teaches us, and a very familiar verse of scripture that is found in Ephesians chapter 6, where the scripture starts in verse 10, dealing with the whole armor of God, when he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," against the schemes, against the trickery. It is the devil's job, and he is very much upon it, to see to it that you don't enter in at the straight gate and the narrow way and build upon the rock and walk in the light of the gospel day. That's his job, to see to it that you don't do that as the disciple of Jesus Christ. But the scripture teaches us, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Amen.
And to put on this whole armor of God, that you can stand and that you can withstand.
Yes.
We've got to stand and withstand. Now, we're going to skip just a little bit of the language there, and I want to move on down there and to pick up in verse 16 here of Ephesians chapter 6. This language right here, above all. Now, how many times have we just read over that? Above all. He's right in the midst of talking about the different pieces of the armor of God, and he has exhorted us and admonished us to put on the whole armor. But he says, above all. Above all. I believe he's placing emphasis in telling you the most important part. Because if you leave this part off, you might be trying to take... You can't take the others. You can't take the other pieces of the armor unless you have activated faith. And yes, I deliberately use that word, activated.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, faith is the trigger. Faith must be, the trigger must be pulled. Faith must be activated.
Yes.
Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about that in regeneration, every elect child of God, when they are regenerated, in the allegory, for teaching purpose, amen, there is a tree planted in you. Amen. This new creation, it is the tree. In other words, it is the ability to bear fruit. And faith is one of the manifested ninefold fruit of the Spirit. And so the tree is in you in regeneration, but it has to be activated. Faith is in you inherently, intrinsically. The tree is there, but there is that you have to do to activate, amen, the faith. Now, I believe that one of the main ways that we activate faith, that we exercise faith, that we trigger faith, that we stir and motivate and produce, amen, the fruit of faith, of trust and confidence and belief, amen, and being able to walk in a way of discipleship that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ is through the preaching of the gospel. The preaching, sitting under the preaching of the gospel, reading God's word, meditating upon God's word. These things will not put faith in you, but they will cause faith to be activated.
Yeah.
Above all, listen to this. Above all, taking. This is where I'm describing to you, and this is where I get the scriptural authority of using this word activate, taking.
Yeah.
This is telling you, telling me, telling the disciples. He's writing here to church members. He's writing here to the disciples at Ephesus. He's telling them, above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith is a shield. Faith is a covering. Exercising, triggering, activating faith, taking it, holding it up, putting faith in use. What will it do? Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. I believe in this context here, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I believe it is specifically of the wicked. It's reference to Satan himself. This is who we're fighting against. The scripture teaches us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, we're engaged in a warfare. This warfare, our weapons are not carnal. We're not talking about physical, natural weapons. We're talking about spiritual weapons. We're talking about spiritual pieces of armor. This is a spiritual warfare. The battle is raging and going on within us, within our minds. It's the conflict that is going on. And of course, yes, it is the pressures. It is the assaults from without. Oh, but what they do and what Satan uses those things is to play upon the battlefield of our mind. And so as the disciples of Jesus Christ, above all, you take the shield of faith. You activate faith. Oh, that is so important. Most of the time, we turn to the expression of where the brothers and sisters, which are so familiar, as Paul wrote to Timothy and told him about the two and mentions them by name, mentions these false teachers and said that they had overthrown the faith of some. And we use it, nevertheless, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. But I'm going there to show you, amen, that there are things that can overthrow our faith. The teaching of that the resurrection was past had overthrown their confidence in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had ceased to take the shield of faith. They had ceased to activate faith. And the exercise of their faith had been overthrown. Now, they didn't miss heaven and mortal glory. Oh, but they sure began to miss out on the joys and the blessings of resting in the confidence and in the belief and trust in the Lord right here in this life. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's where we're at right now. It's right here in this life. Oh, and so it's very important of our fellowship. Oh, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, let me say this also. If it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you can only have fellowship with God when you're pleasing God. Amen. If you're not pleasing God, you're not going to be in fellowship. I didn't say relationship or sonship. Amen. I'm talking about fellowship. I'm talking about that heartfelt communion. Oh, in a walk, engaging actively with the Lord, feeling His smile and favor, feeling that excusing of His Spirit within us. Oh, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, you have intrinsic faith. You have an innate faith. You have the tree within you, but you need to activate faith. You need to exercise it in this context by taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. You know, think about the Roman garrison made up of companies of soldiers. And their type shields, you can read and that information is so amazing of how that their shields, they could fasten them together and come together and just kind of hunker down and hold their shields up and fasten them on the sides with each other and make one big fortress, one big wall there. And when the enemy was shooting the arrows from the distance and the arrows were coming in, the arrows would just be falling down upon that wall of shields when they put their shields together. Well, you see, the Lord, in His wonderful wisdom, so designed the gospel church and so equipped and put the gifts in the gospel church for the edifying and for the equipping of the saints of God, for the disciples of Jesus Christ, that we join our shields of faith together, that we encourage and watch over one another for good. That's why it's so important for the brotherhood, amen, of believers of the local church to come together and to watch over one another for good. You see, the church can't watch over you if you're never around. Amen. Oh, to watch over you for good, to help encourage you, to help strengthen you. Oh, in the ways of the Lord and through the building up, we're edified and lifted up in the singing and in the praying and in the preaching. Certainly we are. Oh, and we can join our shields of faith together and to help one another to quench these fiery darts, these arrows of discouragement and doubt and confusion and stress and torment and all of those darts, arrows that Satan is shooting and are coming in against us on the battlefields of our minds, that we can activate that God-given faith and hold up those shields of confidence and trust and belief in our blessed Lord. Oh, and we can keep on pressing on and we'll not falter by the wayside. Our faith will not be overthrown. We need to use our shield as a shield. So above all, don't you remember those words? Above all.
Yeah.
Above all.
Amen.
And then remember the next word. Taking. Activate. Trigger. I tell you, you remember the text there in Romans chapter 10. Remember we went through about 6-7 lessons there. But remember that verse. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Now faith can't come. The fruit can't be produced if the tree's not there. But if the tree's there, if regeneration is taking place and the tree is in there, then when you hear the word of God, it can be the trigger. It can activate. Faith cometh by hearing. Notice that word, it cometh. It's got to be there to come. Amen. To rise up in you. Oh, how many times have we sat under the sound of the gospel and the Lord blessed the gospel preaching to us and we begin to feel encouraged and strengthened. We begin to feel our burden lighten. We begin to feel the load get a little lighter. We begin to feel just a little bit lighter than what we came in with. Oh, what's happening? Faith is rising up. Oh, you're feeling renewed in your mind. You're feeling renewed in your spirit. You're feeling the refreshing of the rain of the presence of the Lord under the sound of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Oh, and it's a refreshment to you. It's an uplifting to you. What's taking place? Faith is rising up. Amen. Faith is rising up. Well, sometimes the Lord, amen, it's necessary for the correction and the reproof through the preaching of the scriptures and the sound of the gospel. Sometimes for us to get the deliverance that we need, we have to have our nest stirred up. We have to have our water troubled. You see, a lot of times, you know, we're just always thinking about getting troubled waters calmed. Sometimes we need the troubles and the tribulations. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. You remember there in John chapter 5, there's impotent folks, there's sick folks, there's folks that are lame and halt and maimed. There's people with all kind of physical conditions, and they are at this pool, Bethsaida. Oh, the Bible says now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep gate a pool, and that this pool was called Bethsaida. And there was a season, a time, when the angel of the Lord would come down and there'd be the troubling of the water. And whoever got in the water first would be healed and made whole. And it was that on a certain occasion there on the Sabbath day that Jesus was at that place. And it was at that time that the water began to be troubled. Oh, and the Bible also talks about that there was a man that had been laying there. He is in a bad condition. He is lame. He is paralyzed. He is on a bed. He couldn't walk. He had been that way for 38 years. And the Lord said, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" And oh, yes, he would. He'd like to. But you know what he told the Lord? He said, "Before I can get there, when the water's troubled, before I can get there, somebody else steps in before me." Aren't you glad when we come to the house of God and the Lord, through the gospel, he begins to trouble the waters. Oh, we begin to recognize and to realize, oh, that there's a deliverance, that there's a help. It's not the first one in. It's not the last one in. Amen. When we all, amen, together, as we through obedience and looking to the Lord and yielding ourselves in his mighty hand, oh, and welcoming his heartfelt presence. And when he's troubling, when he is speaking through his word and through the gospel, that we all can get in the waters, the moving and the stirring of the waters. And whatever our woe is, whatever our situation, whatever we need healing of the cares and troubles here in this life, of the burdens that we're bearing, thank God we can be made whole. Oh, and Jesus healed that man. Jesus told him to take up his bed and walk. You know, those religious leaders, Pharisees, once again, you know, the Lord did a lot of miracles on the Sabbath day, didn't he? You can read it all through there. And that was one of the big things that they'd always come against the Lord. I want to tell you though, He's the Lord of the Sabbath. Yeah. Amen. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. Thank God. Oh, and He healed that man. Oh, and told him to take up his bed and walk. And they didn't like it because he was carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. Yeah. And he told them who told him that. And when Jesus found the man in the temple, he told him, he said, "You go and you sin no more, and that's the worst thing come upon you." But the Lord healed that man. Oh, he couldn't get in. He didn't have a man to help him in time. Thank God this morning we've got someone that can help us on time. Oh, that is there on time. Oh, the wind, he can trouble the waters. Oh, by his Spirit and bless us. And we can be strengthened and helped and have the healing of our spirit, because we get wounded with the darts of Satan. We get wounded with those arrows many a times, those arrows of doubt and despondency and depression and so forth. But I tell you, it's a good cure. There's a healing ball in Gilead. Oh, through the God's preached word. God does so much through the preaching of the gospel when He blesses it. Amen. I don't want to ever belittle the preaching of the gospel or make light of it. I've heard folks, and I know they didn't mean to, but trying to emphasize they just got another ditch, trying to talk about what the gospel couldn't do. But I want to tell you this morning, the gospel never has done anything in regards far as regeneration. But I tell you, after regeneration, the gospel, amen, can help in every circumstance and situation. For God's children and the disciples of Jesus Christ to sit under the sound of the gospel. That's why the Lord blessed the apostle writing there in Hebrews chapter 10. And because of those persecuted Hebrews that were straying and giving up, they wouldn't activate their faith. They hadn't been coming to church. They hadn't been coming to the assembly. And faith hadn't been rising up. And so he warns them against willful sin. And in that context, before he talked about the willful sin, amen, we understand what that sin really in the context, when he said, "Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching." And then he went right in talking about willful sin. In other words, it's a willful sin for us to forsake the house of God. It's a willful sin. Amen. It's a willful sin, and that's the willful sin right there in that context. Amen. To forsake the house of God, the disciples of Jesus Christ. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ and leave off the forsaking of the assembly, amen, for years. Oh, no. Amen. Now, I know there's many of God's dear children that have attended the services and worshiped in it and then maybe been on the beds of affliction for a long time. We're not talking about them, dear old saints. I love them, and I have done my best to take church to them many a time. Amen. I remember many a times at Mount Olive. Amen. On Sunday's afternoon, maybe 15 or 20 of us would go to homes of our members that weren't able to come and sing and pray. And I've got some of the most blessed joy of preaching in those bedrooms and living rooms. And I've used an ironing board for a book stand. I've used a table for a book stand. It doesn't matter. Amen. To feel the presence of the Lord and the joy and the light of the Lord. I'm talking about well able bodies. I love this world. That are like Demas. When Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Yeah. Now it's the Demases. Sooner or later I run out of patience with. Amen. It's the Demases. That love this present world and forsake. Amen. The assembly. Forsake the house of God. Brothers and sisters, the apostle gave them that warning. Yes, they were persecuting. Yes, they were having troubles, but they were setting themselves up for more troubles than Hebrews were. They're setting themselves up. The book of Hebrews is a book of warnings. It's a book of warnings for the disciples of Christ. Amen. Not to forsake the Lord's religion and to revert and go back. Many of them were going back into Judaism. Oh, and they were warned against that. Oh, I want to tell you, there's nothing, there's nowhere else for us to go. Remember when the Lord preached those hard sayings about eating his flesh and drinking his blood? That's serious now. Amen. That's getting down to the heart of discipleship, is it not? Of course, that's symbolic, allegorical language. We understand, amen, what he's talking about. Amen. He's talking about in that same sense that whosoever will find his life shall lose it, and whosoever would lose his life for my sake shall find it. You want to know what that means? That's just in the context I'm talking about right now. Amen. You know what I thought about this also? And I've tried to preach on this subject matter in times past. You know the house of my car? You know there was 2.5 tribes that wanted their inheritance over on the other side. And they was even willing to go over and fight with the others, but then they wanted to go back. It was a good land for cattle. It was green and it was plush. But you know, some hundreds of years later, it's the same land. that where Mephibosheth was in, that was called Lodabar. Amen. A dry, barren, pastureless land. Some hundreds of years before, it was plush, it was green, it was good for cattle. But you see, they chose that, and they were looking to the natural. You know, Lot looked to the natural. Well, that's the way we are. We want to choose out of the plush and the green. But brothers and sisters, if we will, for the Lord's sake, lose our life, we shall find it. In the allegory here, we need to seek out the Lodabar experiences so that we can have the plush green land. If you're trying to get the plush green pasture first, you may end up with a Lodabar. You understand what I'm saying? You may end up with a Lodabar. But for Christ's sake, if you will, you exercise and wield the shield of faith and activate faith, your Lodabar can turn into a green, plush, blessed land.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, God specializes in turning barren into fruitful.
Yeah.
And if God's people, though, get to trusting in the arm of flesh, God can turn the fruitful into Lodabar.
Yeah.
Hear me. He can turn the green pasture into Lodabar. He can do it in a hurry. So let us, amen, not hesitate or be weary with taking up and going with the shield of faith and exercising and using the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, and all the armor of God, and put it on Christ, and entering in at the straight gate and the narrow way, and building on the rock, Christ Jesus, because the Lord will turn our Lodabars into a blessed, fruitful place. You know, there's a little woman named Hannah. She wanted a child, but she was in a Lodabar situation. But she kept exercising and holding up the shield of faith. She kept quenching the fiery darts of doubt, depression, and all that stuff. And she was agonizing and praying. And even Eli the priest saw her, and her lips were moving. He thought she was drunk because her lips was moving and nothing was coming out. She was in agony before the Lord. But you know, the Lord turned her barrenness into fruitfulness.
Amen.
we could go on with that. The Lord turned Sarah's barrenness into fruitfulness. Oh, the Lord turned a Philippi jail that was a load of bar into a very fruitful place. And before the next day, before the night was finished, there was a whole household baptized. Amen. And there was a church organized at Philippi. And I don't have any doubt whatsoever, and I don't have a verse to prove this, and I'll be honest with you, but in my mind, I like to think about that. I think maybe that old jailer was the first deacon. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, the Lord turned a load of bar, amen, into a blessed green place. But if you seek Him for green, and through natural and the arm of the flesh, and walking in the broad way and all that, the Lord's going to turn all of your efforts into load of bars. Amen, into load of bar. But aren't you glad of God's mercy and grace?
Yeah.
I'm glad of mercy. I tell you this morning, I'm hanging my hat on mercy.
Yeah.
Amen. Because you know that's what Mephibosheth got. And he got it for his father Jonathan's sake. Oh, King David called for Ziba and said, "Is there not someone left of the house of Saul that I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake unto?" And said, "Yes." Said, "There's one. There's Mephibosheth." Said, "He's lame on his feet." New Bible readers, you know why he's lame on his feet. The nurse dropped him when he was fleeing. Whenever the kingdom was changing over there during that very chaotic period in time there when Saul was killed and his son and Jonathan and so forth. And David was coming to power. And the nurse was fleeing with Mephibosheth and dropped him. And he fell on his feet. I want to tell you know Adam. Amen. He dropped us all. But he didn't just make us lame. No, we died. Amen. In trespass and in sin. There was that death. All that took place that he brought upon his whole posterity. Oh, but here's Mephibosheth. He's lame. And he's over in Lodabar. He's in a dry, barren, pastureless land. Oh, but here's David. Remembers him. Because of a covenant. A covenant that he and Jonathan had. And for Jonathan's sake, he's remembering this man. And he sends Ziba, the servant, to go over there and to do what? To fetch him. Oh, brothers and sisters, aren't you thankful this morning? Amen. That God remembers His elect people. That God remembers His banished. Oh, yes. All the elect of God were banished in Adam. Oh, there's a beautiful lesson that's taught. But King David, his son that was banished, but yet he was his son. And oh, how the lesson came to David about restoring his banished son. Oh, it was his banished. Oh, yes, we were banished in Adam right along with the non-elect. But brothers and sisters, we were His banished. And thank God through Jesus Christ and because of that everlasting covenant of grace, He has remembered His banished that are in Lodabar by nature in a barren, pastureless land. Oh, we're Adam. Amen. Dropped us. Oh, but bless God forevermore. He sent His servant to fetch him. Thank God the Holy Ghost fetches His banished. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the wind bloweth where it listeneth, where it pleases. Oh, and you can only hear the sound of it. You don't know where it cometh or goeth. But so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God, by the sovereign Spirit of God that blows when and where He pleases. Thank God. The Spirit of God goes into that place of Lodabar by nature and brings out the banished. Brings out His banished. Oh, which are His elect. Oh, and brings them and sets them down at the table of grace. Thank God. The servant went and fetched Mephibosheth and brought him back. And he sat at the king's table and ate daily. You know, he still had lameness. He still had the frailties. He still had the problems of this world and of the condition that he had. from being dropped. Oh, but brothers and sisters, we still have problems. We have infirmities. We have disabilities because of sin. And we still cast down as we were talking about. But thank God, as I said, there'll be that day when we'll cast down no more because we'll cast down our sin and our fear. When we're glorified in that resurrection day. But you know, when old brother Mephibosheth was sitting at that table, the tablecloth, amen, covered up his lame feet. His lame feet did not appear. Amen. When he sat under the table, there was a covering. Oh, this morning, oh, we come into this banqueting house and we sit. Oh, his banner over us is love. And we sit at his table of mercy and we're covered. Amen. With his skirts. Amen. With the skirts of his garment. Just like Boaz, amen, covered up the feet. Oh, of the one that he was beginning to love. Oh, the one that the Lord was blessing him and motivating him toward. And he covered her feet with the skirts of his garment. Why? Amen. Because he was her redeemer, kinsman. He was the next of kin. Thank God this morning we've got an elder brother. Amen. In that spiritual sense. Amen. We have a next of kin. Oh. And he covers us with his skirts. Amen. While we still live here in this old world. Oh, when we still have all of our problems and frailties of this old flesh, this old carnal nature and so forth. But thank God when we come in and we begin to sing and pray and sit under the sound of the gospel and the Lord by His Spirit comes down in our midst. He begins to cover us and our frailties and our faults and failures. Oh, He doesn't see them because we're covered in the blood of His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful this morning? Aren't you thankful, amen, that we have? But you see, all of this, oh, is that we need above all to take, amen, the shield of faith. Now I want you to notice, you know, we left off there in Romans chapter 13. There with the ending of that verse 14. Romans 13 and 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Then when you turn over, and we never got to that text that I mentioned that's also here in Ephesians in chapter 4. When he's talking to us about the new life in Christ. And he says, starting in verse 21 of Ephesians 4, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. That conversation there means the walk. That former walk, that walk, that conduct of being on the broad way, of entering in at the wide gate, of building upon the sand, that you put off that walk, that former walk, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Yes, we have problems. Amen. With the old flesh nature. That's why we've got to be very conscientious in our thinking, in our praying, in our meditating. That above all that we take, that we activate the shield of faith. He tells us, and be renewed in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Be encouraged. Be edified. Be built up. Be strengthened. All in the spirit of your mind. Now, when the apostle wrote to the Philippians, you remember this expression. When he said, and let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. Now, a person that's regenerated has got the tree. They've got the ability for the mind to be manifested in that sense. It's the same way in John chapter 1 when he said, he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To become, to be. And then in a state of acting like, in other words, manifesting as sons of God. Now, by regeneration, amen, one is a son, male or female, bodily. And of course, it goes all the way back to mind and purpose before the foundation of the world. Amen. Sons of God by purpose, by election. But there has to be the vital. There has to be the born again. There has to be regeneration that has to take place. And certainly it does. Sometime between conception and death for every elect individual chosen and elected by God. But we're talking in which most of the scriptures that you go through in the Gospels and the Epistles, amen, are dealing with our fellowship and our discipleship, with our walk, with our talk, with our experience while we live right here in this life. And that's focus. That's the key of understanding these things. So let this mind be in you. Just like taking the shield of faith, let. Now, in God's eternal purpose and in God's scheme of His eternal decrees and designs, you can't let nor hinder. You hear me? You can't let nor hinder. But in discipleship and in practice, and as these scriptures that we're talking about in this context, let. That puts the responsibility square on our shoulders. That puts some responsibility. Let. Taking. All right? Let this mind be in you. In other words, have this mindset. Let it be the focus. Let it be front and center. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mindset of Christ? What was the mindset as He lived here on this life? He told us a lot of times. He said, I haven't come to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. His mindset was to do the will of the Godhead. His mindset was to do and accomplish the purpose that He was sent here to do. We have a role. We have a purpose as disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. To walk and to fulfill while we live here, right here on the shores of time. Remember, Jesus' mindset was so that the Bible teaches us that His face was set as a flint toward Jerusalem. His face was as hard as a rock toward Jerusalem. In other words, He was determined. There was a determination. That was the goal, to accomplish His death. For this reason, for this purpose, am I come, He said. Yeah. So this was the mindset of Christ, to fulfill His mission, to fulfill what He had come here to do. It was continuously and constantly upon His mind. And that's the same context that the apostle is speaking of. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ
Jesus.
Oh, boy, that really gets where the rubber meets the road, does it not? Oh, to put on Christ, to wear Him, that you put on the new man. What is the new man? That's the tree. That's the creation. That's the new creature in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're to put Him on and we're to wear Him as a beautiful garment. Is there not an expression back over in Isaiah? What, somewhere around 51, 52 chapters, something like that. We're not going to turn there and find it. But oh, where the prophet exclaims, put on to wear thy beautiful garments. Amen. Israel was admonished many times to wear beautiful garments, to put on the beautiful garment, to be arrayed, to be decked. What was that beauty? He's not talking about something natural. He's not talking about natural clothes. He's not talking about natural adornment. That's why the apostle makes it plain in several places in the New Testament. Amen. For the sisters, for the sisters, the disciples of Christ in the church, not to place the emphasis upon the outward adorning and the emphasis upon the costly array and all of this. Now, we understand. Amen. You can get in the ditch with that. He's not talking about that you ought to go around looking worse and disheveled hair and all of that. No, we're not talking about that exaggeration. Amen. But in context, we're talking about though that our emphasis, amen, our focus is not to be upon the outward, but it's upon the inward. And you sisters, and I thank God for you here, amen, that your beauty is a quiet and a meek spirit, amen, lowly before the Lord, having a zeal toward your husband, amen, oh, and also unto your natural husband, and also unto your husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the Bible teaches us all of these things. The scriptures, they are sufficient. They're sufficient, brother. They're sufficient. We don't need anything the scripture doesn't address. The scripture addresses everything that needs to be addressed. You believe that? Amen. I believe you believe it. Yes, that the scripture addresses right here in the Word of God. It gives us the correction, the reproof, the admonition, the exhortation, the instruction in righteousness. It fully, it completely furnishes us. We are not without. We are not without. We have it. Amen. We have it written. We have it recorded. And we have, amen, the gifts that God gives unto men to preach it out, to preach it forth, to speak it. Amen. As Jesus spoke it and recorded and gave it, we don't have, amen, the light illumination. We don't have the Spirit without measure. We don't have the Spirit as Jesus had. He had it without measure. We don't have it as the apostles had it, who had a great measure. But thank God we have measure. Yeah. We have measure. And we're to use that, and we are to perceive, and we are to discern. We're not to have our head buried in the sand. No. We're not to act like, oh, I'll tell you what, if you like the knowledge, go to God's Word, get it. You like some wisdom, ask of God who giveth liberally. Oh, who will bless us and help us. As I said many a times, you could have all the knowledge in the world and without wisdom be a most dangerous person. But thank God with a balance of knowledge and with godly wisdom, not the wisdom that this world considers wisdom. I want to tell you, it's foolishness compared to the wisdom of God. Amen. It is below foolishness. And we see it acted out more and more every day. Just how foolish and just how ridiculous that the reasoning of wicked men and their minds are. But oh, thank God, we know it from history. We know how it's been back through the history of man. And the Word of God tells us, and we understand it from other sources. Oh, and we don't have to guess. But let us, amen, put on Christ. Wear Him as a beautiful garment. wearing, amen, decked out with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most wonderful beauty. That's the most wonderful beauty. Now the world won't think you're beautiful. And beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But I want to tell you, amen, God will recognize that beauty. And us other brothers and sisters, amen, that are trained, that have a trained eye from the Scripture, that have a trained ear from the Scripture, amen, will also see, hear, and observe your beauty. Amen. As you walk, observe your walk. As you walk here in this life, oh, that you're entering in at the straight gate and on that narrow path and building on the rock Christ Jesus and endeavoring to walk in the light of the gospel day and this great illumination that we have. The world is not going to come to it. Because their deeds are evil, and because the light will reprove them of the darkness. They love darkness rather than light. Your old Adamic nature, and we've talked about this some, it loves darkness. That's why a lot of the debauchery of sin is under the darkness of the black of night. There's more crimes committed at night than day. Oh, it's a true statistic. There's more ungodliness committed and carried on, amen, under the cover of night than in day. I tell you though, I've seen that change somewhat though. I've seen in my short lifetime, I've seen sin paraded in the daylight and on the streets, and men love it and crave it. Oh God, help us. Brothers and sisters, it's not going to go on this way forever. There will come a close. There will come a time when it will be the last time. When it will be the last day. When it will be the end. And God's going to close it up. Oh yes, He's going to come again. Oh, and He's going to cast the devil and false prophet and all of the wickedness and all of the those that are judged according to their works are going to be cast in the lake of fire. Oh, they'll be there, and that punishment for their sins will never, never cease. It'll be an everlasting punishment. But thank God there's going to be joy eternal, both everlasting and joy and eternal there has the meaning of no end. No end. Amen. As long as there's the joys of the Lord's people, there will be the punishment of the wicked. There will be no end. You know, you never, hardly ever run into one that believes in annihilation. But you know, just a few weeks ago, I ran into a young man, probably around 30 years old, of all places at the flea market, and got to talking with him. And you know, he was an annihilationist. And finally, he said, you know where I read after that and started believing it? I said, yes, I do. It wasn't in the Bible, but you got that I think I just caught the last name, Armstrong. And now his first name is escaping me, Worldwide Church of God. And you say, Brother David, you're calling names. So that's all right. The Apostle Paul called names. But that man is an annihilationist, and he has messed that young man up through his literature, through his false teaching. He believes in annihilation. Yes, that the wicked are going to be cast in the lake of fire, but then they will just be consumed. They'll just be consumed. I said, well, you know, that wouldn't be too bad. I mean, you know, just live and have you feel of sin, and just go on your merry way, and then just be cast in and burned up. I said, you got it all wrong. I said, you got it all wrong. I said, they're going to go away into everlasting punishment. A punishment with no end. Because they're judged according to their works. And they're going to be there because of their works. Amen. And the very scripture is very plain upon that. And I tell you what, we would be right there with them. We'd be right there with them if Jesus Christ had not paid for the sins of our works. Amen. We've done simple work. Sure we have. Every day, sins of omission or commission. Brothers and sisters, for by one man sin entered this world, so death passed upon all men. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're not only sinners by nature, but sinners by practice. But thank God, them practiced out, worked out sins of God's elect have been paid for in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is a just judge, and He will not demand payment twice. For all that Jesus has paid for, they're paid for. They're paid for. Thank God for that this morning. Now, brothers, sisters, having that knowledge, having that light, doesn't that make you want to put on the new man more and more, and to have a closer walk and fellowship with the Lord, than to try to please the Lord in His ways? Because of the Lord has done for us, not to have that home in glory, but because, amen, of what the Lord, we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. And He gave Himself for us. He freely gave Himself, oh, for us. So therefore let us, oh, by His mercy and grace and by His Spirit, let us take up that shield of faith. Let us activate it. Let us stand and let us withstand.
Yeah.
And let us press on in the good fight of faith.
Yeah.
God bless you this morning. It's my prayer.
Amen. Praise God.
Let's select a song. We'll stand together.